I needed that particular.
Yep.
What was your reaction when you learned Sinjin Bison? Because everyone feared.
Well, I mean, I guess when he got hurt in the game, and Josh and Dan helped him off, or whoever helped him off the court, I remember turning to Mike Kelly and saying he's probably done for the season. And I tend to be pessimistic at the best of times, but you've seen enough of those over 30 years or 40 years, whatever, how many years I've been involved in basketball to know that it wasn't going to be a bounce back one.
Right. The news for the Clippers is obviously hard to take as well in this point in the year. How do you get them up over the initial disappointment of it?
Well, I mean, we've been dealing with injuries all season. I mean, when we got here, I think our first five games, we were missing basically three guys that are starting now, Mitch Todd and Haji. Those guys finally get healthy. We get 13 guys out with COVID. We get those guys back. We start to go on a little bit of a run and playing probably our best ball of the season during the end of that road trip. Then Mitch and Mike get hurt again, out for a month. Then Mitch and Mike get healthy and have a pretty good game, and then now Vic's done for the season. So it's not like it's something new that we have to figure out how to deal with it. It's been, you know, next player up, move on with who you have. My heart goes out to Vic. I feel really bad because he's had a great season, and this is going to delay now his next thing, whether it be something summer league or whatever. So I feel really bad for him. He's had some bad luck in his career and looked like he was turning the corner, which hopefully he still will. But for the team, it's all about lock in on the game plan. Here's who you're going to be matched up with. Here's the spot that you're going to be in. And we need everybody to give 5, 10% more.
Are you still a contender without Rick
Paul? Sure. I mean, if we're still in the game, we're still a contender. Anybody can win on a given night if you outwork the opponent and do a better job sticking to your game plan. Not easy tasks, especially when the other team is trying to do the same thing. But we've said all year that talent is one of the lowest factors on the scale of priorities as to what wins a game. And we just have to make sure we win the first five or six, whatever they might be, including playing hard, playing together, executing multiple efforts, things like that.
Matt Hodgson admitted to some nerves about not wanting to be part of a group that ends this final stretch. Do you feel similar feeling?
I mean, I feel bad if we lose, no matter what the situation is. When I was in 12th grade, we were the number one team going into the playoffs. Small school in the league, big story, and we blew a 10-point lead in the second half in the semifinals to Charlottetown Rural, and that one still stings. I can't do the math that quickly, but that was a long time ago, 1995. So any bad loss where you feel like you can do better than what your result is going to stick with a competitor for a long time. So regardless of if the streak or whatever the case is 1, 5, 10, 40, 100, when you set a goal to win a championship and you feel like you have what it takes to get there, if you don't reach that goal, it's going to be disappointing. If we win tomorrow and make the finals and then lose in the semis or the grand finals is going to be just disappointing.
Fans would be more disappointed about the streak ending than losing in any other game, I reckon. Do you feel that pressure to maintain or something to keep that streak going? Because it is something that's so significant to this club.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing my best. No one came into this season trying to lose. No one came in trying to get hurt. No one deliberately got COVID. No one deliberately missed a shot. No coaches deliberately called a bad play or whatever it is. So we've been giving our best effort the whole season, and that's all you can do. And like I said, regardless of the situation, anytime you give your best effort and lose or fall short, it's disappointing. And for competitors, you know, I could name 10 different seasons and games that still come back to haunt me. And there's been a lot of good moments in there, too, and some championships. So it's just the way it is. Sometimes the losses stick with you longer, so that's the pressure. And the fact that we need to win to get into the finals is pressure. And whatever happened the previous 40 years doesn't really affect me one way or the other.
There's always been a belief here that this coach to coach the team to missing the finals is going to lose his job. Do you feel pressure for your own position this weekend, needing to win to make sure you're here next year because of that streak?
I'm not sure how the budget's working around here, but if they if I lose my job, they're paying me out my salary next year. So I'll probably do what I should have did this year, was just stay home and sit on my couch and get a paycheck. But because, you know, I'm personally a competitor and I wanted to challenge myself, that's what I got myself into. I got myself into a big challenge, and it's making me a better coach. So if the fans or the ownership wants to send me packing, they can send me with my salary, and good luck to the next guy.
Bryce Cotton, once again, nominated as a finalist for MVP of the year. Just a few words on what it's like to coach such a star player.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's great to coach all the guys, but Bryce as a player has been awesome for us. You know, I think statistically it's been one of his better years, and credit to him, because every year that he comes back and plays, there's more attention on him defensively. More guys are hanging off his shoulders and pushing him, and every team's game planning for him. And with all the injuries that I just said, he's been more of a focal point. So credit to him for being able to maintain his level and even in some cases raise his level at this stage of his career. It's been awesome to be a part of.
And Luke Travers as well, nominated for rookie of the year. How nice is that for him to sort of back up what he was able to do last season?
Yeah, so I'm new here. I was surprised that he was able to get rookie of the year, because I know he played quite a bit last year, and I thought maybe he'd be in line for most improved. But if that's the way the rules are, that he's a rookie, I think he deserves a look at both awards. He's been playing the point guard spot in a league that's, you know, dominated by import or all-star level Australian point guards. It's that and the four spot, I'd say, the toughest positions to play in this league in terms of your matchups. And the fact that he's held his own and directed the team when Mitch has been out. And then when Mitch comes back, he slides to the wing and does other things great. I think he's done an unbelievable job, and we're just going to keep pushing him because he's got a very high ceiling for himself. Well, I mean, I guess he's in the top three. He's the three finalists. So that's a pretty big statement in itself. You know, I'm sure the other coaches are arguing in favor of their guy. Since the votes are already in, I don't really have to argue. I think that at the end of the day, as a coach, you look at who worries you the most when you're making your game plan and who requires the most attention, and that's probably the MVP. So if coaches and the captains of the other teams sit back and decide that Jalen Adams or whoever the other nominees are deserve more, then hats off to those guys. They're three good candidates.
Just on Vic, obviously now they won't play again this season. His time here is up at the moment. Would you see him coming back next year? Is that something you discuss with him in the near future?
Well, Craig just fired me, so I'm not sure I'll be back. I think I'll wait and see if I'm allowed back, and then we'll talk about it. It's hard to say. Again, you know, I don't want to get past this weekend. This weekend's big, and we still have a good shot at winning one or two games and then hopefully making a run in the finals. But it's kind of one thing at a time. And, you know, Matt Hodgins spoke up last week and said, you know, the most important thing, and something we've been saying all along, but the most important thing to remind ourselves is to focus on the process. And if we start getting ahead, then we lose sight of what's really important to get us to where we want to get to. So whenever that ball drops, whether it's the confetti coming down when we win the whole thing, or whether it's a lot sooner than that when we fall short, then we'll address the next season. And I'm looking forward to having a bit more input and knowledge of the league going towards next season. But I'm hopeful that I can wait until early June.
Matt yesterday suggested that Melbourne would play a softer team against the Jack Jumpers to give themselves the best chance of not having to play the Wildcats, assuming you guys don't get the job done on your own. Is that something you would like the NBL to keep an eye on, if they're trying to sort of fix the final position in the ladder?
No, I mean, we could have fixed the finals by beating Adelaide last week or beating Tasmania at home, games I thought we fell short on in terms of our effort and our execution. So that's up to United. I think that they're a pretty competitive bunch. And if I was in their spot, it would be a consideration. You don't want to risk injury, but you also want to go into the finals playing good ball in a rhythm. And if you sit guys for that long of a period, sometimes it can come back to haunt you. And I think back to, like, you know, tournaments, like conference tournaments that you would play back home. Sometimes the team with a bye in the first round, because they're the favorite, kind of a disadvantage in that first game because the team they're playing is in a rhythm. But over the course of the tournament, if they can survive that first little hurdle, that rest they got at the start sometimes pays off. So it's a fine line. You're never really going to know the answer. It's a hindsight thing. So whatever happens, happens. We're more interested in playing our best ball and trying to get in this thing through the front door.
Are you comfortable telling us who's most likely to replace Dick in the starting five? Hey, we're restructured that, or is that going to be something you don't want anyone to know about
now? Yeah, I'll just, I mean, I don't, I'm not a big chess player. I don't even know the rules to chess. But I think I'll just, if I don't have to answer it, I'll probably just wait.
Fair enough.
is there much pressure on Kyle coming into that 11-man squad to replacing someone like Vic Law on the roster?
Well, I mean, he's not really replacing Vic. I mean, no one's really replacing Vic. We got to replace Vic with 11 guys. Vic averaged whatever he averaged, 20-8 or something like that. And it's important that no individual player goes out there and try to be Will Chamberlain. Like, they got to just give 5 or 10% a little bit more, try to be that much sharper, that much more crisp with their execution, be ready to take shots when they're open, make the right play when they're not open. And if we have the mindset of everyone just working together to be a little bit better, then that's how we're going to replace Vic, not just with one person.
Scott, maybe just a word on the Hawks and the matchup they're facing tomorrow.
Yeah, so, I mean, Illawarra has been playing pretty much as good a ball as anybody in the league. Between them, Sydney and United, they've all kind of maintained that consistency all season. They got a number of weapons that can hurt you. They provide matchup problems at basically every position. They can go small with Reith at the five. They can play Reith at the four and try to punish people inside with his size. So it's going to be a challenge for us. We're going to have to, again, play together and not get discouraged by a couple baskets here or there. Like Haji said, it's a process, and you got to focus on the next play. So if Reith comes down and gets a tough one in the paint, we got to come right back and make it equally as hard for Harvey and Tan Mays and Jessup and all the other guys they have, Cleveland, to score. And I think the biggest thing for them, it's no giveaway or secret, is you got to slow them down in transition. If they can get out and run, they're going to be tough to beat. They're the best transition team in the league, and that starts with their ball handlers hitting ahead and guys like Cleveland getting out and running and break.